Lagos. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and this is the realest business show on radio. On Balogun Broad, we talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. And today, my big question is, how can the pharmaceutical industry clamp down on fake drugs? How can the pharmaceutical industry clamp down on fake drugs? Fake drugs have plagued Nigeria for decades, in spite of efforts by both federal and state governments to curb them. These efforts are still ongoing, which brings us to today's business hard fact. Last month, the Lagos Health Ministry's Task Force on Counterfeit, Fake Drugs and Unwholesome Processed Foods shut down 20 pharmacies and patent medicine stores for illegal practices. So clearly, we still have a fake drug problem. Maybe it's less pronounced than it was in the late 90s and 2000s, but it's still there. And that means that we have to ask questions about why it exists, how these drugs are making it into the system, the impact that they have both on customers and on the pharmacies themselves, and finally, what needs to be done to end the problem once and for all. My guest is the National Secretary of the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria, pharmacist Benga Falabi. Welcome to Balogun Broad on Hard Facts. Mr. Falabi, can you hear me?
Yeah, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay. Lagos, we want to hear from you as well as we have this conversation. You have your experiences with this topic, I'm assuming. I mean, let me not make any assumptions. Have you had any experience or encounter with fake drugs? What do you think about how we can tackle the problem? 01465-7190 for women. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. I always explain that Nigeria Info has more male listeners than female listeners. And that means that you have more men trying to call in than women. Now, if you have seven callers and five of them are men and two of them are women, you're more likely going to hear from a man than you are going to hear from a woman. But if you have two numbers, one dedicated to women, one dedicated to men, if all five men are calling that one number and you pick all five, you're going to speak with men. If all two women are calling the second number and you pick two calls, you're going to speak with women. So it evens out the gender of the contributors on the show every day. That's why we have a dedicated line to each gender. So it's not anything dramatic. That's for those of you who are tuning in today for the very first time. But yes, we have Benga on the show with us. The PSN was part of the exercise last month, Benga, that tracked down these fake drugs. How often do these types of operations take place?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me this evening. And I'm very happy and glad to be here. The government realizes the fact that, of course, there is this menace of fake drug distribution. And the consequence of allowing that without any intervention is death to the user, you know. And that's why we have the fake drug and fake and adulteration drug tax force from the federal government, which each state is supposed to draw down their governance from. So the one that went to the Shomolu area sometime last month is the Lagos State Tax Force on Drug and Adulterated Products, as it were. And permit me to make some corrections there. The places that we have shut down, okay, we'll refer to them as illegal drug stores. And I could bring them down to the following. We have 26 premises were visited during that enforcement activity, which is made up of 19 illegal shops. Okay, that means they are operating without any license, without any recourse to Pharmacist Council. of Nigeria, who is saddled with the responsibility of registering premises where anything medicine is an article of trade.
Okay.
And then out of the 26, we have three registered patent medicine vendors, stores visited, and four registered pharmacies were also visited. So it wasn't 20 as was actually carried in the national dailies as 20 pharmacies shut down. Now, thank you.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much. Now, obviously, there are ways for pharmacies and other outlets or suppliers to differentiate real drugs from fake drugs. What are they?
Let me say this. The Pharmacist Council of Nigeria, which is PCN, that is the government regulator for pharmacists and other people that are involved in the distribution of medicines in Nigeria. And they are also saddled with the registration of premises where medicines, okay, articles of trade. The problem we have here in Nigeria is that, and the major one, is that many of us do not realize that medicines are poisons. In my days in pharmacy school, my first year in the dispensing lab, when I entered that lab in 1985, the lecturer came in, Professor Iguilo, and he said, "You are in this laboratory. You have medicines here. All medicines are poisons." And you know what? This is the reason why every medicine has a label on it that shows what it contains, the strength of what it contains, where it was made, who it was made for, the place of manufacturing, the shelf life that determines when it was manufactured, and how long it will remain on the shelf before it expires. Some medicines expire and become toxic. Some medicines expire and become inactive. You know, this is why we have shelf lives on those drugs. So we need to get Nigerians to realize that medicines are poisons, number one. Even as common as paracetamol and aspirin are. That's why they have doses. Okay, and once we establish that fact, then we then go on to say, how do I determine where to get my medicines from? The pharmacist is the professional that is licensed to give out medicines, especially the group that we call the prescription-only medicines. There are two groups of medicines. We have the over-the-counter, which you and I can walk across the counter and ask for. These are common analgesics, vitamins, what have you. But there are some that must be prescribed. Once there are drugs that are prescribed, then it's only the pharmacist that is licensed to give it out to the patient and with full details providing pharmaceutical care on how to use it, when to use it, and et cetera. These pharmacies have a neon sign, is an RX sign that is standing in front of them. It's a green cross with an RX sign inserted in between that cross. That is the government emblem for where the government have certified here is where to get your medicines from. Thank you.
All right. So, I mean, we have all these fail safes, right, against fake drugs. How are they still able to get into the pharmaceutical supply?
Good question. Interesting.
Okay. Well, we wait for the connection to be re-established between us and Olugbenga Falabi, Lagos. You can join the conversation, of course, 0700-993-993-993. Have you had any experience or encounter with fake drugs? What do you think about how we can tackle this problem? Olugbenga, do we have you back?
Yes, sure.
All right, go ahead.
Interesting. It will shock our listeners to know that actually fake and adulterated medicines is a global menace. It's a huge industry that is valued at over $20 billion. And unfortunately, recently I was in a meeting about this menace is also being spread by terrorism. Terrorism is being spread by drug cartel. They use medicines as an article of trade to try to wash the money, okay,
Okay.
that is gotten from illegal and then put it in the normal trade, as it were.
Okay.
And what we have today in Nigeria is that medicines that are imported into the country can only come in via two airports. That is to help to in the monitoring. Now, let me say this. This is where NAFDAC comes in.
Okay.
NAFDAC is a regulatory agency that is charged with responsibility of medicines, foods, okay, food and drugs, as it were. While the Pharmacist Council is managing the products itself. So NAFDAC manages the product, PCN manages the people that are dealing with the products. Okay. So now, how do we end up in this distribution? In the distribution channel, we have a very chaotic distribution channel for medicines. And this is because, like I said earlier, our people see drug as just an article of trade. Just one thing I can trade in, whatever is in there. What they are not realizing is that medicines is to save life. So as long as we start treating medicine with respect, is that a special commodity for life.
All right, our connection with Mr. Falabi continues to go in and out. We do hope that the connection gets better. Internet connection in the past few days has been abysmal, I'll say that. But if you just tuned in, you're listening to Balogun Abroad on Hard Facts. Balogun Abroad is our business show, and we talk about the issues in the news that affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. And the pharmaceutical industry, while on the other, on the one hand, being an industry that saves lives, like Olubenga has said, it's also still a business, right? And there are parts of this business that, have proven to be harmful, with the influx of fake drugs into some of the supply chains, right? I mean, like I said when we started, fake drugs have plagued Nigeria for a long time, and that's in spite of everybody doing their best to try and fix the problem. But we still have a fake drug problem. Now, Mr. Gbenga has told us that this is a global problem. It's not unique to Nigeria. It's something that's happening all over the world, and it has ties to all kinds of places. So he's told us about the people who use it to launder money. He's told us about the links to terrorism. These are things that I didn't know before. That's what I love about this job. You get to learn so much every single day. But we've got Olubenga back on the line now, and hopefully this one behaves. Sorry about the interruption. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, every country comes up with a way to try and manage this menace. And that's why 5 years ago, thereabout, the Federal Ministry of Health launched a guideline that is called the drug guideline in Nigeria, the
Right.
new distribution guideline.
Right.
And what this does, okay, is to ensure that only registered premises, registered by Pharmacist Council and only products that are registered by NAFTAC are officially either manufactured locally or imported into the country through restricted points of entry. I can tell you, no medicine is expected to enter Nigeria via any of our land borders.
Okay.
I repeat, no medicine is supposed to come into Nigeria through any land border. So it means, therefore, that for such a program like this, the more of it that our people who are managing the borders can have, the more they can be more vigilant to know that any medicine being attempted to be brought into Nigeria via the land borders is just fake. There is nothing else to think about it. It's just fake. Because it is original, it will follow the registered protocol.
Yeah, but how does it affect me as a consumer? How will I know that it came from the land border or the airports? Or is this targeted specifically at the dealers themselves?
Good question. So what we advise... Yeah, so what we were then earlier, every registered pharmacy has an emblem in front of it.
Mm.
The emblem is the same all across the country.
The neon sign
is only one and no other one.
Mm.
So you walk in there with your prescription, you are supposed to have your genuine medicine from that place.
Mm.
And what the drug distribution guideline tried to do is to sanitize the chain of distribution of medicines in Nigeria such that is expected that only registered products come into the country or are manufactured locally, okay, with NAFDAC certification under strict GMP conditions. And then they move from there for the manufacturer or importer to registered distributors, from where it moves to registered wholesalers, from where it goes to the registered retailers, either the PPMB for the OTC or for the prescription-only medicines from the registered pharmacies, okay? But we have a challenge. However, the Federal Ministry of Health, through the new drug distribution guideline, is trying to address that. That's the challenge of open drug market. In the open drug market, as it is today, it's difficult to control. You don't know who is there. You don't know who is bringing what into that open drug market. We have them all over the country. We have it in Idumota, in Lagos, we have it in Kano, we have it in Enugu, we have it in Aba, we have it in Onitsha, all over the country. In Ibadan, everywhere, almost every state capital have its own open drug market. So the new drug distribution guideline now have inside of the policy what is now recognized as consolidated wholesale centers. Very soon, the drug market in Idumota is going to give way to the consolidated wholesale center that is being developed somewhere around Ijora. Every practitioner in that center will be registered. Every single product that will come into that center will be registered by NAFDAC. And from that market, it's now easier. NAFDAC will be in that because each of the coordinated wholesale centers across the country. PCN is going to have an office there so that they can enforce what comes in and enforce what goes out. If it does not come in officially, it cannot leave from that market officially. So we're trying to sanitize distribution channel. The more of that we're able to do, the less of fake drugs that will be circulating in the country. But until then, the only counsel, therefore, will be for citizens to know where to get their medicines from, where to fill their prescriptions, get to a pharmacy, or if it's an OTC product, you can still take the chance of picking that up from a patent medicine vendor.
So again, the only practical way that consumers can detect fake drugs is to look at where they're buying the drugs from. Because like I said earlier on, consumers are not experts. We don't have access to things like batch numbers and all of that. So the only practically speaking thing that consumers can do to enable them detect fake drugs is to look out for that emblem. Where do they find the emblem? At the door, inside the pharmacy, at the sign? Where is it usually?
Yeah, that signage stands in front of the pharmacy.
Okay.
It's on a unipole, and it stands there. It has below it pharmacy, and it has a green cross across it, light green cross, inside of it, an RX sign. It's right outside.
I mean, but anybody can mount any logo. How do we know which one was mounted by the government or the certifiers, and which one was just the dubious businesswoman putting it on her signpost?
Nice question. The problem of faking the neon sign is a bigger problem for whoever does that. So more often than not, those who go into or set up illegal drug stores, they won't fake being a registered pharmacy.
Okay.
People just know, okay, they sell drugs in that place and people walking there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
The number two way, apart from the neon sign that is right outside on the street, for one to know is when you enter a registered pharmacy or a registered patent medicine vendor, there will be hung inside on the wall conspicuously a license issued by the Pharmacies Council of Nigeria. So you walk into a registered pharmacy, you will see it displayed. Two licenses will be displayed. One will be the registration for the premise, and inside it will be the address. So the address is very important. If I come into number 4 Noble Street, Ikeja, Lagos, and I look at the registered license that is in that pharmacy, and I say number 32, Bole Kaja Street, Ilupeju, I know that is fake.
Okay. All right.
I don't need to ask any question. Okay. I just walk out of the place.
Okay. All right. If we see that, are there reporting mechanisms though?
Sure. The Pharmacies Council, the NAFDAC, okay, they all have whistleblowing feedback on their website and phone numbers that they could call, you know. And in fact, even in Lagos here, I'm sure putting a call through to the emergency line, SOS, the emergency line, SOS line, or using the tele networks 112, okay, they would direct the call appropriately to the right place.
Okay.
However, the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria is also setting up a hotline very soon, okay, which is going to serve as a drug and poison center. Okay. And it's going to be a national one with a national reach, which will also help, okay, to domicile such feedback complaints, and then we'll be able to appropriately report such to the right agency.
All right. We've just heard from a pharmacist who is also the National Secretary of the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria, Gwenga Falabi. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate your time.
Lagos, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll take your calls. Don't go.
9.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And every Wednesday, we bring you a segment that I absolutely love.
If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuel, so on throw, was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
And today, my question was, how can the pharmaceutical industry clamp down on fake drugs? And we had the National Secretary of the Pharmaceutical Society of Nigeria join us, Gbenga Falabi. Gbenga Falabi is a pharmacist, and he answered one of my questions in a way that intrigued me, for lack of a better word.
It will shock our listeners to know that actually fake and adulterated medicines is a global menace. It's a huge industry that is valued at over $20 billion. And unfortunately, recently I was in a meeting this menace is also being spread by terrorism is being spread by drug cartel. They use medicines as an article of trade to try to wash the money, okay, that is gotten from illegal, and then put it in the normal trade, as it were. And what we have today in Nigeria is that medicines that are imported into the country can only come in via two airports. That is to help to in the monitoring. Now, let me say this. This is where NAFDAC comes in.
Okay.
NAFDAC is a regulatory agency that is charged with responsibility of medicines, foods, okay, food and drugs, as it were. While the Pharmacist Council is managing the products itself. So NAFDAC manages the product. PCN manages the people that are dealing with the products, okay? So now how do we end up in this distribution? In the distribution channel, we have a very chaotic distribution channel for medicines. And this is because, like I said earlier, our people see drug as just an article of trade. Just one thing I can trade in, whatever is in there.
And of course, he went on to give several other insights, to share several other insights about the problem. And by the time he was done, he shared tips for knowing where in particular you should source your medication from. And I mean, I just want to find out if you have experience with this. Have you had any experience or encounter with fake drugs? What do you think about how we can tackle the problem? What do you think about the conversation I had with Mr. Falabi? 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. I'm hoping I hear from Ngozi today. She is, I think, in that industry, because she talks about it all the time, and she talks about it with a lot of... confidence, the kind of confidence that a person talks about an industry that they're in or they know a lot about. So I'm hoping I can hear from her today so that she could share some more insights into this fake drugs problem. But yes, how can the pharmaceutical industry clamp down on fake drugs? 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling us. Hello.
Hello, I can hear you. Good evening.
Good evening. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. So, concerning the topic today, I just have a question. I don't know if your guest is still around.
No, he's not.
But there are instances, what's the action of the society in instances where, you know, I know they need a pharmacist to be able to establish a a pharmacy. But I've also heard of cases where they get a pharmacist to behave or pretend to be the owner of the pharmacy, but that is not the case. So there's a pharmacist fronting for the pharmacy. Okay. What are the steps that the society is taking to curb such occurrences?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. Thank you for calling to ask it. Unfortunately, he's not here anymore, but I'm going to ask that question of him, and hopefully he can answer for us. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Ms. Samuel.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I need to commend you for this, for bringing this to the table. And I also enjoyed the analysis of your guest as well.
Okay.
You know, another thing I want to add to this conversation is that, first of all, I think all of us need to know that this kind of fake drugs dealings and all that, I mean, to me personally, I would suggest should attract straight away just a death penalty.
Okay.
Because the reason is that, yes, because, and you know, until people begin to be made a scapegoat, you understand, we will not see any significant headway in coming this thing. Because the point is this, I mean, somebody that is sick, I mean somebody that is hale and healthy, healthy, hardly needs drugs. You can imagine somebody on sick bed, on a lifeline, and things like that. And some people, someday, because of their own selfish interest, just like your guests have said, I mean, dealing and taking pride in this kind of business, to hurt, I mean, sort to the injury of, I mean, someone that is dying. So nothing else should be done than, I mean, they open up. So I think enjoying the PCN and NAFDAC and all that to probably push a bill to National Assembly that, I mean, it should be just conspicuous. Anybody in, you know, I mean, so illicit drug is even different from fake drug.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So I mean, this thing should be more pronounced. It should be more pronounced. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp as well. 080-959-75805. Let's talk to you. Hello. Good evening. Okay. We have just released that call for me. Thank you very much. Just released that call. It's okay. I have it. Hello. Good evening. What's your name?
My name is Ngozi.
Ah, yes. I hoped you will call, and here you are. Good to have you on the show.
I was just keen listening to your guest. For me, I think when you talk about fake drug in Nigeria, it encompasses a whole lot.
Okay.
You talk about drugs being fake, some drugs maybe being manufactured below standard, some storage, there are drugs, even when they are good, you store them under a very poor condition. They can lose the potency in the drugs, and when people take it, it doesn't make any difference from the normal fake drug. So that's why I say when you talk about fake drugs, it actually encompasses a whole lot.
So much.
So, but for me, Sandra, your guest spoke very well, but he also failed to acknowledge some of the pharmacies are also part of this problem. We have the prescription drugs, as he earlier pointed out. But when you go to pharmacy shops, you see these so-called professionals, pharmacists, giving out these same drugs to people without prescription. You know, when the issue of Tramadol busted in Nigeria, you should have asked Sandra, how do people get access to those drugs? These drugs are classified under the prescription drugs.
That's right.
But go to the pharmacy shop. The so-called pharmacists, the professionals, are the ones selling these medications without prescription. I don't want to mention a lot of drugs that people go over the counter to buy, and they are being dispensed by the professionals to these guys. I think the problem we have in Nigeria when we talk about fake drugs, it encompasses a whole, I think it's greed. People now have the love of money than life of humans. NAFDAC has so much to do, Sandra.
Okay.
PSN, what they usually do, they track down on these patent medicine guys, which happens to even sell drugs that they are not supposed to sell. Pharmaceutical companies supply these guys drugs that they know they are not they shouldn't have access to. You will see people supplying these drugs to those patent medicine dealers. And they hide, and even the masses go to them to buy these medications. Coming to NAFDAC. NAFDAC has failed as at now, Sandra. I'm openly telling you this because if DORA, as a singular entity with the team she had, could track down on this guy, could do a whole lot in the pharmaceutical industry. I don't know why this present DG is not doing that. What happens here, Sandra? People go to China or go to India, bring these samples to these guys for analysis. When they analyze these drugs, they pass the standard, they register them and give them numbers. But when they start rolling out thousands of these drugs in the open market, NAFDAC does not do any follow-up as it were during DORA time. During DORA, she walked up to any pharmacy shop, she buys this medication, they go back to their lab and analyze it. People register with drugs that meet up the standard, but when they import something that is substandard. So a whole lot happened here, and the pharmaceutical society is also not playing their role well because they also are complices in all some of these things. Some of them lease out licenses to these unprofessionals that import some of these drugs. So I think if we must tell ourselves the truth, we all should go back to the drawing board. We should go back. I mean, pharmaceutical industry, a whole lot go on there, Sandra. We should tell ourselves the truth. We should value human life. Money will come and go, but humans, you cannot replace human being with money. That is the truth about life.
Ngozi, thank you so much for calling. I hoped that she would call, and I'm glad that she did. Balogun Broad is sponsored by UNICAF. UNICAF is the leading online higher education provider, and they make sure that they bring you this show, this business show, every Wednesday. Of course, UNICAF is offering all kinds of things, right? There are so many opportunities with UNICAF. They've got their scholarship program, giving you access to scholarships to universities in the UK, universities in the US to study online, and you're receiving the exact same degrees as those who are on campus and studying. We'll take a quick break, listen to UNICAF, come back and take more of your calls.
I want to study for an internationally recognized MBA degree that would help me boost my career, but I can't leave my family and my job.
At UNICAF, we are here to inspire and help you make an impact as you thrive for success. Grab this opportunity and study for an internationally recognized online MBA degree with up to 80% UNICAF scholarship. Pay in small monthly installments and have the flexibility to study at your pace. Limited spaces are now available with the University of East London and the University of Suffolk. Call us on 07000-111-000. That is 07000-111-000 to help you jumpstart today. With UNICAF, you can.
All right, it's a few minutes to 5 o'clock. Let's take your thoughts. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
I want to play Just a Minute, yo.
It's not time for Just a Minute yet. 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name, sir?
Good evening. My name is Ike Moore, Labisi Onabanja University.
Welcome, Ike Moore. Good to have you on the show.
I want to start with a protest.
Okay.
I got Jimmy Dus in the morning, and she said he wanted to speak with a woman, and I'm protesting. I got him direct after trying for 1 hour. I want to speak with a woman, and they actually cut me up. I've asked my lawyer, Femi Falana, to get ready.
Okay.
That's by the way.
Okay.
Coming to the issue you are talking about, somebody said, let's have a death penalty. You know, armed robbery has death penalty.
Yeah.
Since the days of Oyenis, they are still robbing.
Okay.
The lady who spoke last talked about greed. The same reason why people do Yahoo Yahoo. The same reason why people forge, do contracts and they will not do the contract and collect the money. The same reason is a societal problem. I think the one that pains me most is when somebody offers medicines that are toxic deliberately. The issue of whether the thing will expire, the storage and all that is what you do by, awareness and whatever. But when somebody goes to mix chalk and powder and put inside the capsule and sell it to people, that is very suicidal. But I think it's a societal problem. Society is in a mad rush for money from everybody. And until we calm down that issue of money is everything, we may not get through with this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aiken Moore, for calling us. Ndubisi from Okoko says, I went to a pharmacy with a prescription. The attendant said to me, Oga, original is 2004, next quality is 1,600, and the last is 700. What can our guests say to this? Is the least of them fake? That's quite the interesting experience. And also sounds to me like it should not even be happening. Wow, woo! We've got Bioye from Yaba who says, Nigerians are quick to blame the government for everything. Who sells fake or expired drugs at the pharmacies? So many Nigerians are wicked, greedy, and selfish, period. Bioye, thank you very much. You remind me of Angel with a period. Period. Okay. Let's listen again to our sponsors, Unicaf. We thank them for bringing Balogun on Broad your way.
Hello, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for calling us.
I've been calling forever.
Bele, welcome.
Okay. Yeah. So first thing is, the topic here is very, I'm so passionate about it because I'm a key industry player in the pharmaceutical industry in Nigeria.
I see. Okay.
And I think what Falabi said is very instructive.
Okay.
But you see, the other lady that called, Ngozi or so, yes, she has actually enumerated the real challenge and the bane of progress or development in the industry.
Okay.
Now, let me quickly say this because I'm an insider.
Okay.
It will be very difficult for us to solve the problem of adulterated or unwholesome drugs in the industry.
Okay.
Simply because this space is filled with most of apologies to our Igbo brothers who know little or nothing about drugs,
okay,
except that they are money bags.
Okay.
Now, these guys have gone as far as going to pharmacy school to marry off our younger, our sisters who are still in pharmacy school.
Okay.
They entice them with money.
Okay.
They do all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they marry these girls off, before they even graduate, they set up pharmacy shops for them and all that.
Okay.
But mind you, these guys still bring fake drugs into the system.
Mm.
Now, they now use the licenses of those girls to validate their illegality.
Mm.
That is what you find in Ariari Market. That's what you find in Idumota here. Virtually all those shops, if they close those shops in Dumota tomorrow, I tell you for free, virtually all of them are pharmacy shops outside that space. I'm talking on good authority because I've been in this industry for 25 years.
Now, how can a problem like that be solved?
It can. I don't know, except the society rises up. For instance, in neighboring Ghana here, there's what you call MDCN.
Okay.
It's a jointly organized drug distribution channel.
Okay.
So only approved pharmaceutical companies and who have medical sales representatives.
Mm-hmm.
I am a member of Nigerian Association of Medical Representatives.
Right.
Do you understand? So every pharmaceutical company in Nigeria, for instance, should have approved medical representatives who ordinarily should be pharmacists or people who did biological sciences that have gone through training.
Right.
Now, these persons are supposed to be licensed, given the drugs, and they are the ones to carry the drugs directly. Drugs from their company directly to the registered pharmacy outlets.
Right.
Do you understand? That is the first thing.
Right.
But even at that, the problem is so difficult in Nigeria that it will take miracle for us to overcome that. Because you know what?
What?
When the guys, like what the woman said, when they want to register with NAFDAC, they submit the original product, the good product to the lab. For analysis.
And then go on and do what they like.
Immediately they get the numbers. They get the numbers, they bring in substandard. They just go back to that same factory and say, oh, just give us 50% of the excipient.
Why?
They will not bring the original thing.
Why?
Yes.
Why? Why?
That is what our brothers from the East do.
Why?
They even bring 10% of it.
Oh,
so in effect, you know, let's say for instance, somebody has an infection and you have gone to buy an antibiotics. In a pharmaceutical shop. Now, most Nigerians, because they have symptomatic relief a few days after taking the medicine, to them, they feel that the thing has gone. But in the real sense of it, the they only have symptomatic relief, but the causative organism is still in their system.
Oh.
And it's still going to be causing damage. Except if the person has bought an original product that has 100% of the active ingredients.
So until there's a miracle, we're stuck with this, huh?
We are. We're going nowhere except. So the only solution I see that I want to propose, which I know that it is very difficult because this same our money back brothers have also have, they have representatives, they have people they sponsor into the National Assembly, they have people they sponsor into the House of Assemblies, and these are people that would make sure that any bill that I want to make, make sure that they close those places.
Are you there? Oh no, we've lost connection to him. But let's listen one more time to our sponsors and then wrap up the show.